Hello, Doug Brown joining Brendan Stone today on Unusual Sources on CFMU McMaster Radio 93.3 FM. Well, it's Happy Canada Day, but Brendan and I are at work. There's a lot of important things to cover. And we've been covering the situation in Gaza, this 8-year-long siege that the Gazans have had to endure, where really, they're short of food. They're short of supplies. Everything's so restricted. They can't come and go. Even though they have a seacoast, Israel stops them from using it, even for things like fishing. There's been people trying to break the blockade in peaceful ways. And the most peaceful way is simply to send a boat in with supplies, and also maybe try to send boats out with trade goods and so on that countries normally can do. So a few weeks ago we had Bob Lovelace on. He's one of the Canadians involved who volunteered to be on the boat. And so Bob gave us kind of a description of what they're doing, and then he shortly thereafter he left for the Mediterranean and joined a Swedish trawler called the Marianne, and it was part of a flotilla of a number of boats. And just a few days ago, well away from Israel, about 100 miles away from Israel, the Israeli Navy commandos actually commandeered the boat and basically seized everybody and towed the boat to Israel. So we're going to get a first-hand update here. We have on the line David Heap, who's with the Canadian boat to Gaza, and it's part of the Freedom Flotilla Coalition. David, are you there?
Here I am. Good to speak to you, Doug.
Oh, yes. Thanks for joining us. And it must be a very busy time for you with the seizure of the boat and most of the crew is in jail, I understand.
Yeah, the 18 people on the Marianne of Grotenburg, they're still either 9 or 10 in prison in Israel. Givon prison, the same place where some of us have been held before, following other flotillas. So when you say firsthand, it's because I was following it firsthand. We had sat phone contact with the Marianne up until about an hour before the assault occurred. And just to give your listeners an idea, we're not talking about 100 nautical miles from Israel. We're talking about 100 nautical miles from Palestine, from the coast of Gaza, which is the coast of Palestine, Palestinian territorial waters, and outside that, international waters, even farther from Israel. This goes, of course, this flotilla boat, like all other flotilla boats, sets a course through international waters to Palestinian waters off Gaza. I mean, it's never been our course, it's never been our intention to sail towards Israel or towards Israeli waters. So this is clearly a crime in international law against a Swedish flagged vessel in international waters. And the activists who are there and the crew, most of them are still in prison waiting to be deported by the occupation force, which has committed this crime against their persons, but also against the small amount of aid that was on board, and against the boat itself, which is a gift to the fisher community in Gaza, a very important source of food, if only they could fish their own waters freely.
Yes. What about Bob Lovelace and Kevin Nisch, the two Canadians on board? How are they doing?
Well, we've had indirect reports. We know that they've had a consular visit by Canadian external affairs personnel, and they've been visited by the human rights lawyers who also represent the Scandinavians there, the Swedes and the one Norwegian, who tell us they're all right, but they report that, unlike what the occupation forces tell us about an uneventful boarding, At least four of them were tasered and beaten at the time of the boarding. So I don't think there's such a thing as an uneventful boarding. I mean, if you're boarded in international waters by military force, that sounds like an event in itself to me. But if you add to that that at least four of them were tasered and beaten, and some of that footage was shown on Israeli TV, the tasering. There was an Israeli reporter on board as well. It gives you an idea of what they consider uneventful. But, of course, this is because they try to control the media and try to control the message, what comes out of these things, just as they do day in, day out, year in, year out, for decades on end with what they do to Palestinians, which is much worse, what they do to Palestinians in the West Bank and in Gaza. They try to control the message. They control communications from a ship like this. They cut off the sat phone lines and so forth. So for the first hours, the world hears, and most of the media is happy to repeat what they hear from the Israeli occupation forces.
Yeah, in fact, I was surfing the net shortly after I heard about the seizure, and there was a video clip of the tasering. It was really frightful.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty stuff. And I mean, I was tasered once in November of 2011 when they boarded the Tahrir, and that was bad enough. But the video we saw, it's a friend of ours, Charlie Andreasen, a Swedish sailor who I had the pleasure of meeting in 2011. He was sailing on the Estelle, and in October when that I saw him in September, and in October when Jim Manley was on board. Jim Manley's a retired member of parliament from BC and a retired United Church minister. Again, some of the people on board were tasered quite gratuitously. I mean, these aren't people who are resisting in any violent way. They're all trained in nonviolent resistance and committed to nonviolence. So the use of tasers or any other weapon is completely uncalled for, of course, in these cases. But what you have to realize is that Israel gets away with it because their forces are never held accountable by the governments of the world, just as they're not held accountable for this criminal, illegal blockade. They're not held accountable for decades of occupying Palestinian land. They're not held accountable for crimes against Palestinian civilians on a routine basis. So the one difference here is in this case, the crimes are perpetrated against other nationalities, against internationals from Europe and North America. And this former president of Tunisia was there as well, abducted by them. So it gets a bit more attention, and we manage to focus a bit more light on what they do routinely to Palestinians.
Right. And again, surfing the net, the first thing you notice, I open up the Star every day, and there's not a word about about this incident. It's like it hasn't happened. And even in Israel, I mean, there's at least news of this event happening. But here in Canada, the corporate media, it seems like total silence.
It is. It's thunderous silence.
Yeah, just disgraceful because you figure if Israeli media, now I understand they're heavily censored, military censors, but at least they report that it happened. Here it's a total blackout on the whole thing. Apparently, looking on the internet, the Swedish foreign minister has criticized Israel and said this is clearly a breaking of international law, that the boat was in not Israeli waters but international waters, and it's not an Israeli boat. It's a Swedish flag boat. So no jurisdiction. This is just use an impolite word, but it's accurate, piracy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, a Swedish flag vessel is in international law, is Swedish territory. So what applies there is Swedish law, and they're right that they have to reply, and quite frankly, it should become an international incident. If not, charges in international court. Of course, Israel will do its best to shield the individuals, officers and soldiers responsible for this, but really the responsibility has to go up the chain of command to the commanders and the politicians who order this kind of criminal act. So piracy would actually be letting them off easy. I mean, in this case, it's state piracy, right?
Right.
Piracy is a private crime. If you or I steal a boat on the high seas with some armed friends, that's a crime. But if a state does it, a state should have greater responsibility towards the international community for their behavior and, quite frankly, greater consequences. But again, they get away with this. Israel gets away with this because they're allowed to, because the Harper government and the government in Washington and the powers in Europe allow them to get away with it without consequence and, for the most part, without comment. Now the Swedes have to comment, and hopefully that'll force a few more European countries to finally take a position over whether state pirates actually rule the whole Eastern Mediterranean or whether international law rules in international waters.
Yeah. Now, within Canada, is anyone covering what's happening?
I've talked to lots of community and campus radios so far, but I haven't seen any corporate media covering the issue.
Yeah.
Thunderous silence from the Globe and the Star, who passed on these stories, as far as I know.
Yeah, and the Star, I went online and I searched their website, and there's, and CBC. I searched their website. There is not a word about this, and this is our public broadcaster.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It is very disappointing, but unfortunately, this reflects a consensus of silence, if you like, on the part of our corporate elites and our political elites and the media elites. That they're like the three monkeys, and they want to hear nothing and see nothing, hear no evil and see no evil and speak no evil. They just don't want to know anything about it. So I think this is a case where people have to take hold of the issue and talk about it ourselves, educate each other, educate the people that you work with or study with or pray with or recreate with, talk to your communities about it. I mean, I wear buttons and T-shirts about Palestine all the time, and kefia when it's cool enough, and I use them as conversation starters.
Mm-hmm.
People need to know about this through their social media, but it's awfully easy to click and share online. I think those face-to-face conversations are something we have to remember. And if people, won't object that that's complicated or doesn't have to do with us, just remind them that it's our responsibility, too. This occupation is happening. This blockade is being done to people in our name because our government has been complicit with it for a very, very long time. The Harper government is worse than some preceding governments, but the Canadian government has been complicit in this, since the partition in 1947.
And I would think that actually all parties are complicit because of the total silence of parliamentarians.
Yeah, and again, that's another sad contrast. I mean, in Europe, you will have major media talking about this, but you also have political parties in the spectrum that talk about this. In Canada, we have nobody at the federal level, and provincially, there's three members of the National Assembly in Quebec from the Quebec Solidaire Caucus who are firmly on side. In fact, Manuel Massé sailed with us in 4 years ago in Greece when we tried to get out of port in Crete. So there are our banner headline heroes in terms of elected politicians in North America. But again, that's a sharp contrast with Europe, where, I mean, I spoke about the blockade in the Basque Country in Spain, and the major opposition bloc invited us to the regional parliament's Human Rights Commission, which, is a treatment you don't get in any Canadian territory or any U.S. state. And on this boat, there were Euro MPs from Spain. Ana Miranda was, again, one among the ones who was deported quickly. But, again, it's a political issue which, quite frankly, their electorate demands. So if you want to look at that contrast, I don't think it's necessarily just because Europeans have better politicians, though they might. I think it's because their electorate demands better. And all of these parties and politicians are, in fact, speaking to their base, who expect them and demand that they take a position on Palestine. And while I don't concentrate on engaging politicians in Canada, but when I do, I tell them there's an opportunity here. There's an electorate out there waiting for the party federally in Canada that takes a principled human rights-based approach to the situation in Palestine and Israel. It doesn't have to be pro or anti anybody. It doesn't have to be pro-Palestinian, anti-Israeli, pro-anything. It just has to be in favor of human rights.
Exactly.
That would be enough, I would say, to get on board this very very engaged, very concerned electorate and growing electorate who is looking for leadership on this issue and, quite frankly, not finding it at the federal level in Canada at all.
Yes, and I also noticed in the crew there was a member of the Knesset.
Yep.
So, you can be a member of Knesset and be on the boat, but no Canadian parliamentarians.
Canadian parliamentarians are even more silenced now than they were 4 years ago. I mean, when Yehab Lotoyev and Karen DeVito and I sailed in with others on the Tahrir in November 2011, there were a few politicians, and I'm grateful to them, a few members of the NDP caucus who were able to speak up. A year later, Jim Manley, a former member of that NDP caucus, sailed, and there was complete silence. What changed in that year, federal leader became Tom Mulcair, and the control and muzzling, quite frankly, of the NDP caucus became that much more severe. I don't think that actually reflects the views of the NDP base. I know when a resolution went in 2011, just before the flotilla in Greece, there was a resolution sent from writing association here in London, some writing associations in BC, a couple in Toronto, all on the blockade and on the Freedom Flotilla. They had a lot of support at the grassroots level and at the convention. They were quashed in one of these procedural things where they were simply taken off the agenda because the leadership was afraid to see that the membership actually, the delegates, actually had a lot of support for this. I think this is something that the NDP leadership wants to avoid, but it's going to become inevitable at some point that the membership will demand, and we saw that last summer, quite frankly, during the assault on Gaza by Israel. Long-time stalwart NDPers saying enough is enough. If people want to vote for a party that toes the Zionist line, they already have lots of choice with the Liberals and Conservatives. They got that line sewn up. They're looking to the NDP to do something different.
Yes.
And quite frankly, on this particular issue, they don't do much different.
Getting back to the flotilla itself, there's other boats in the flotilla. So what's happened with the other boats?
Yeah. So as I said, on Saturday morning there were four. There was the Mariana of Gothenburg with 18 people. Then there were three smaller boats with 8 or 9 each, sailing from Greece. And the idea was that they were to accompany the Mariana for a time, but they turned back before the most dangerous part of the voyage, so that the delegates on board, the representatives of different, you know, civil societies around the world and different media would be able to speak out during that critical period of, hours following the attack. So on that one of those boats were two other Canadians, Yehab Lotoyev, engineer and writer from Montreal, and Christian Martel, a retired trade unionist from Quebec City area. Mm. And they were among, as I say, internationalists from a bunch of countries, and they're now back in Greece. I just had confirmation that Yehab and Christian are in the island of Rhodes in Greece, on their way to Athens to return. So the idea is we don't want to, because the occupation force takes boats on every occasion, we don't want to give up all the boats on every occasion. And we want to, involve as many people as possible in the flotilla action to give it as broad an international reach as possible. I mean, this time, for the first time, there were two New Zealanders, a team from Maori TV in New Zealand who were on the Marianne. Very interested, incidentally, in Bob Lovelace and the indigenous people's aspect of this anti-colonialist movement. There was also a South African, though he was not among those who was on the Marianne. There was a South African representative on one of the other boats. So, overall, it's growing internationally. It's growing in diversity. When Bob says he's sailing to the largest Indian reservation in the world, he really sees this through the lens of the anti-colonial struggle here in Turtle Island. And he reminds us that, they'll tell us, oh, send your aid through the proper channels, but there are no proper channels for the liberation of an oppressed people, right? And you never ask the permission of the oppressor if you're going to stand in solidarity with people, oppressed people like the Palestinians. So we will continue to sail. I'm not going to give you a date or even a year at this point, and I'm certainly not going to say what boats or how many boats, because obviously there are risks associated with that. But this movement isn't over. We continue to sail. Our course continues to be the conscience of humanity, and we will accompany the Palestinians of Gaza until they open that port. That port is opened for trade and travel and fishing and all those other things that any people would want to do with their coastal waters. And until, quite frankly, Palestinians gain freedom of movement throughout Palestine.
Yeah, and speaking of that larger struggle, how does this fit into the ongoing boycott, divestment, sanctions campaign?
So the struggle struggle for freedom of movement is sort of parallel and complementary, right? As you know, the BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanctions, many of us support it, many of us are involved with it, and, you know, in our communities and at our institutions. And it is often a very local struggle. So it's with your supermarket or the businesses in your community or with perhaps with performers or artists or other cultural workers internationally. But it is, it's something we can all do everywhere. This is a coordinated international action, and it's a direct action, right? So it's an action where people put themselves on the line to challenge an unjust rule by force in the name of higher law, in the name of the rule of international law. So it's the two are complementary. We see people, you know, who become engaged through the flotilla work sometimes move on to BDS. We certainly work with lots of BDS activists in different parts of the world. There was a lovely action 2 or 3 years ago in Spain when we were building Gaza's Ark in Gaza, so another converted fishing boat to sail out with trade goods. It was eventually destroyed last year in the war on Gaza. It was shelled and burned up a year ago this month. But the thing that we were doing up until a year ago was selling trade goods, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea in Spain, they had a lovely idea, was because there's a lot of Israeli dates on the market there. They say, don't buy these dates that are under boycott. Pay instead for a coupon for Palestinian dates from Gaza, and, you know, support producers under occupation. So these are other things that we'll continue to do. In fact, just the week before this flotilla, there was an exhibition in Gaza at the Red Crescent Hall of producers' organizations who wanted to export with the flotillas, because we have trade goods there that people have purchased. People from Ontario, people from Norway, Australia, mm-hmm. South Africa, Greece, have purchased trade goods from women's cooperatives, producers, organizations in Gaza that they can't export. Right? So we want to draw attention to this, especially to the right of Palestinians to rule their own fate, to trade and travel the world. And that includes having a free and unfettered economy.
Okay, well, we'll keep following this. Certainly we're looking for a safe return of Bob Lovelace and Kevin Nisch and the other international crew members, and I guess we would encourage people to contact their MP, let them know, that we're so upset about the total lack of any Canadian political support for this action. It's just they all turn a blind eye to Israel, it seems.
Yeah. So people have, there's three great online actions people can take. There's an online petition from Voice of Women for Peace. There's another one from Independent Jewish Voices online, signed by myself and Rabbi David Miviser out of Vancouver. And there's another one from CJPMA, Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East, who also do online petitions around a bunch of issues. So these are things, people can sign on to do. Slightly more difficult things is letting your local federal MP of whatever party stripe they happen to be know that this issue matters to you and will inform your next electoral decision. Getting involved in political organizations at the grassroots or other community organizations and saying, look, we've got to take a position on Palestine. We've got to take a position on Gaza, on the blockade of Gaza. It may not be that popular with your organization, but that's a slightly longer-term goal to get involved with and get engaged with and help inform people.
Right. Okay. Well, we encourage all our listeners, to keep on top of this issue, keep well informed, and start applying pressure on your elected representatives, and get active. It's important. It's an important human rights issue. David, thank you very much for joining us today. I know it's a terribly busy time for you right now, but maybe we can touch base as the situation develops in another week or so.
I'm always happy to talk to Unusual Sources at McMaster. Thank you for having me on your show.
Okay, thank you. That was David Heap. He's with the Canadian Boat to Gaza, a part of the Freedom Flotilla Coalition, and he was giving us an up-to-date report on the seizure of a Swedish trawler, the Mariani, part of this flotilla taking aid to Gaza, and two Canadians were on that boat, as well as some parliamentarians from other countries. And a lot of them are in prison in Israel, including our Canadian friends, Bob Lovelace and Kevin Nisch. So we'll keep following this issue. And there's a lot of resources. Bob Lovelace has a wonderful blog. It's easy to find. I won't give you the URL. If you just use Bob Lovelace Gaz, it'll pop right up at the top of your search. You know, the other, there's the Tahrir.ca is the Canadian Boat to Gaza site. There's freedomflotilla.org for the broader campaign. So we encourage you to get informed and get involved. And we certainly are going to continue to follow this issue here.